Northgate Community Church, if you're visiting today, we want to thank you for coming and visiting with us. I hope you'll stay for a few more minutes. We do have cookies at the end for you, and take some bread if you want some bread. But we're a house of prayer for all nations. As you can see the mural up here, what that depicts is the Bible talks about all nations streaming up the mountain. Usually streams come down a mountain. But all nations streaming up the mountain to worship the Lord as one. And we are a fellowship of living grace. We believe that God's grace turns people's lives around. Turns whole families around, marriages around. So that God can be created and so that He can be so that we can live the way that God created us to live. Amen. Well, the kids have done a great job today. At one point I just kind of looked at them and tears started coming to my eyes. Because I just saw the earnestness with which they were seeking to serve the Lord. They were looking at Tim. Let's just thank Tim and Deborah for putting this together for us today. And I just saw how they were looking to Tim and doing their best and trying to play while singing at the same time. And they were just doing an outstanding job. And, you know, I want to talk today about how God has ordained praise. The Bible says from the lips of children and infants, God has ordained praise. And I'd like us to turn to Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Let me see. Deborah was carrying around Ogoolua before. You still got Ogoolua? Where's Ogoolua? Lift up Ogoolua here. Anyone who knows the Alabis and Buno, that there's an anointing of praise in their life. And Ifa and Ara are up here and Irianu was doing the little praise song, but Ogoolua, she's just a little toddler, she'll come up here and just start praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. And in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. It actually says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When we praise the Lord, the enemy is silenced. When we praise the Lord, the enemy is silenced. You can go through your life and be all burdened down by your own thoughts and anxieties and dread and fear. Or you can choose to praise the Lord. And the children are examples. You heard this morning how a little child will lead you. The children are our examples. And how they lead us in praising the Lord. God has ordained praise. God has established praise. He's established praise as a strategy in our life. And so the children can point us to this strategy of praise. And obviously we're emphasizing the children today. But I want us to make a transition now where we're emphasizing praise. Where we're emphasizing praising the Lord. That it's a strategy of life that I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to let the praises of God come from my mouth. And as we do so, the enemies of God are subdued. The enemies in our life are subdued. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that our enemies are not flesh and blood. Our enemies are not, say, our co-worker. Or our enemies are not our spouse. Or our enemy is not our brother or our sister. Alright? We have to remind ourselves that our enemy is not our flesh and blood, but principalities and powers that are working behind people and driving people in wrong ways. But the enemy is subdued and defeated when we praise the Lord. Christ overcame the enemy at the cross. And he subdued the enemy and he won the victory. And so Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Now a name in the Old Testament times had everything to do with who a person was. who a person's character was. We named our children Anna, Caleb, Nehemiah, and Joshua. And so when we tuck Nehemiah into bed, we say, Nehemiah, you're going to rebuild the walls. You're going to rebuild the walls. When we tuck Joshua into bed, we say, Joshua, you're going to take the promised land. You're going to lead the people in taking the promised land for God's kingdom. A name has everything to do with a person's character. And so when we praise God, we're praising who Christ is. We're praising who He is and His qualities. And so it says, how majestic is our Lord's name. And His majesty refers to His victories. He's majestic because He's a victorious King. And He's won victory for us. And so we praise Him for who He is and all the character qualities of who He is. And in verse 2 it says, from the lips of children and infants You have ordained praise because of Your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. You might think, who are the enemies in my life? Children, you might think, who are the enemies in my life? Who are those that perhaps maybe at recess cause me some trouble? Maybe they'll put me down or they'll say something unkind to me. Or they'll say something mean to me. Well, the Bible says when we praise the Lord, our enemy is silenced. Because we're no longer hearing the voice of the enemy, but we're praising Him. Our ultimate enemy is none other than Satan himself. The Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And he's the accuser of the brethren. Well, Satan is silenced not only for our children, but for us as adults as well, in our lives, when we praise the Lord. I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus brings out this passage. It's a very interesting passage. In which Jesus showed Himself as a different kind of king. It says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Now a donkey speaks of peace. A donkey speaks of humility. So he wanted a donkey. Verse 3, Jesus says, if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away. This took place, what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus was the fulfillment of so many prophecies hundreds of years earlier. And here too was a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus would come on the foal of a donkey. He would come to His people. It's from Zechariah 9:9. Before that, in Zechariah 9, verses 1 through 8, it predicts the great warring conquest of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, whom we learn about in history class, is right there in the Bible in Zechariah 9, verses 1 through 8. And how he came through and conquered and subdued peoples and had his war horses and his chariots. And he came through and conquered peoples. Well, in contrast to that, in Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. And so, he's saying that Jesus was going to be a different kind of king. Jesus wasn't going to be a king that came on war horses. He wasn't going to be a king that came with all of his chariots. He wasn't going to be a king that came with his battle bow. But he was going to be a different kind of king, coming with salvation in his hands. Coming on a donkey. Actually, the foal of a donkey. And so these are not characteristics that normally describe a conquering king. And yet we can be assured that Jesus is a conquering King. Jesus conquered sin, as we just saw, that we can be free from sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that the pathway of sin leads to destruction, but narrow is the path of life. The pathway of destruction is wide and it has many people there. It's very popular there, children. As you're growing older, you're going to be tempted sometimes to go the popular way. You know, as the little ones were going like this, okay? All right? And they're kind of tempting you to go the popular way, to go in the broad way of destruction. Many people are there, and it seems like a lot of things are going on there, but broad is a path that leads to destruction, but narrow is a path that leads to life. And so Jesus conquered sin, and He conquered death, He conquered destruction, He conquered hell, so that we can have life, and so that we can live the life that God has created us to live. Look at verse 6. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. We're told in Mark that Jesus actually sat on the colt. Jesus sat on the colt. Now you think of a colt. All right, we've got, who here likes the Indianapolis Colts? Okay, they used to be the Baltimore Colts. All right? Kind of like a Mustang. A colt hasn't been trained. A colt is still really a wild animal. And yet, under Jesus, that colt was still. That colt listened to Jesus, and Jesus, the God of all creation. And so here Jesus is riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, an animal that is not broken in yet. Yet this animal stays restful under Jesus' loving direction. Let's turn just a few chapters before to Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. It's good, His good pleasure, God's good pleasure to reveal the things of the Word of God to little children. You think, how does a child respond to teaching? I know our kindergarten teacher at Living Grace Christian School, Mrs. Pettis, she recently said, I'm sorry my children are so loud. And I said, there's no reason to be sorry. All right? I love hearing the voices of children. And kindergartners and little children, they receive instruction with enthusiasm. At least I believe they should. They receive instruction with enthusiasm. All right? They embrace the instruction. They're receptive to the instruction. They want to learn. If there's anything that characterizes a child, is a child is a learner. A child loves to learn. Anyone who has had a toddler, you can see learning going on. As they're learning how to speak and put sounds together and put words together. Learning is happening right in front of our eyes. Children love to learn. They're enthusiastic about learning. And God calls us to embrace Christ as a child does as well. In Matthew 11, verse 27, it says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And then Jesus said, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Who here is weary and burdened? All right, I'll raise my hand. All right? I mean, it's part of life, becoming weary and burdened down with life. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. There is a yoke when we're going to be a disciple of Christ. We're not just footloose and fancy free. There is a yoke. But what kind of yoke is it? It says, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, in our day and age, there's a lot of things going on in society today. And sometimes we might have a perspective of wanting to set up Christ or Christianity as a king of war. as a mighty conquering king. Maybe what they had in the Crusades is the Christians and the Muslims would fight each other and so forth and so on. But we need to remember that we have a different kind of king. That our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That the only witness, the only testimony that we have is if we fight differently. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. They're not weapons of voices responding in hate and getting in our flesh and anger and so forth. But the weapons we fight with are different. And they pull down strongholds. The weapons of truth and kindness and the joy of the Lord and the love of Christ. The weapons that call people to have a change in heart as opposed to putting them down and tearing them down. We have a different kind of king. He's gentle. He's humble. He's one that brings rest. That word rest communicates calm. It communicates comfort. It communicates a sense of refreshing. It communicates letting go of pressures and letting Christ's peace prevail in our life. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. It says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Three very distinct exclamations of praise. As an English teacher, I noticed that each of these exclamations of praise have quotation marks around them. It's not one continuous quotation. They were saying different things. They were saying Hosanna to the Son of David. They were saying Hosanna in the highest. They were saying blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And for my 5th and 6th graders, and 3rd and 4th graders, and 7th and 8th graders, what do you see at the end of each one of those sentences? An exclamation point. What does that mean? They're exclamatory sentences. It means they show strong feeling. They were showing strong feeling. They were exclaiming to the Lord. And they were saying, Hosanna. Hosanna is a Hebrew exclamation simply meaning save. Hosanna. Hosanna to the highest. They knew that he was bringing salvation. They were saying, save us. In Zechariah 9:9 it says, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. They knew that salvation was coming. Now they had a little bit of a misguided notion. They thought Jesus was coming and going to set up a kingdom on this earth. And they had to go through an understanding. They had to go through a change in their perspective to understand that he was going to not just set up a kingdom, a temporary kingdom on this earth, but a kingdom in people's hearts that is saving people from that day to this day, all through history. There was a second exclamation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's from a praise psalm in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. And so how are we saved? How do we incorporate this strategy of praise in our life? How are we saved every single day in our life? Sometimes I go running and I say, and I'm out there by myself in the woods or something by Seneca Creek or whatever, and I say, oh Lord, save me! Help me! Maybe I should start saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Every day we need to be saved. Every day we need Christ's salvation in our life. And so how are we saved every day? How can Christ come down and save us every day? Well, number one, to see every single day made by the Lord. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We all deal with circumstances of life, things that we're going through. Sometimes, you know, I have a hard time getting out of bed, but I try to get on my knees the first thing and say, Lord, this is the day that you have made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that you have made. if we simply start opening up our mouth and praising the Lord for this day, that the Lord has made this day, the Lord has created this day, the Lord has given us this day. Thank the Lord for this day. It's as simple as saying, even if we don't feel like it, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you've given me another day. I thank you, Lord God, that you've created this day. I thank you that you're going to give me opportunities during this day. I thank you that I can get up and I have a relationship with you, Lord God. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you that I have a job. I thank you, Lord God. Just start thanking the Lord. That's how we are saved. That's how we are saved by God every day. It's a strategy of praise. Oh, Lord, save us. It says, oh, Lord, grant us success. Children, every single day, when you get up, thank the Lord for this day. Rejoice each day, and God will save you. God will make you successful. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Praising God every day will save you. One day at a time. Look at verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. In Mark 11:17, Mark says, Jesus said that my house would be called a house of prayer for all nations. You see, they were selling animals there. Children, does anyone here have a pet? Do you take care of that pet? Or do your parents take care of the pet? Do you take the pet out we called it when I was growing up, to do his business? All right? Well, there were animals there, and it became very smelly. And Jesus was rightfully indignant because his place, his home, his house of prayer for all nations had become a very awful smelling place. And it wasn't an inviting place for people from all nations. And so Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer for all nations. He wanted all nations to be able to come into this house. But it wasn't just for the Jewish people. It was for Gentiles from all nations who would come together to worship Him as one. He wanted it to be an inviting, welcoming place for all nations to come to. And that's from Isaiah 56:7. It says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house would be called a house of prayer for all nations. You know, I'm tempted to go around the room right now, you know, and just pick out all the nations of people in this room. There are many different nations. We have nations expressed either here in the church or as part of our mission efforts with all the flags that you see in the back. We are a house of prayer for all nations. It's God's call upon the church today. Verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Again, the children were shouting, Hosanna. Again, I think of the kindergartners shouting and trying to learn their lessons and trying to say their sounds and singing the little jingle that they were singing this week to learn their A-E-I-O-U's and their sounds and so forth. Jesus loves the sound of children. Don't you love the sound of children's voices singing? Praise God. God has ordained praise. As a teacher, you don't know how much you're going to miss it until you miss it. Until it's not there anymore. The sound of voices. the sound of children playing. What a glorious sound. In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." What characterizes a child? A child trusts. A child has faith. A child accepts whoever is teaching him or her. There's that faith that the child has. It's part of being a child. Something that we should never take advantage of. A child is also humble. There's humility in the life of a child. A child is teachable. And just as we serve a humble king, Jesus, that humble king, who came on the foal of a donkey, a total contrast to a war horse. He's a different kind of king. Just as we serve a humble king, gentle, and riding on a donkey, gentle and humble in heart, he calls us to walk in humility as followers of that king. We serve a humble king, we're to be humble disciples, not with puffed up pride. There's a fine line between knowledge that builds others up and knowledge that puffs up oneself. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God." And so God calls us not to live as disciples and followers of this great king with puffed up pride, but with the humility of a child, because God gives grace to the humble. In Matthew 16, the chief priests, the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, asked Jesus a question that was really more of an accusation. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. And what were they saying? What were these children saying? What were these children doing? What was coming out of the mouth of these children? They were praising Jesus. God has ordained praise. And in the same verse, Jesus said, "Yes, have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." In one fell swoop, Jesus both affirmed children and he affirmed the praise of him as Messiah King. A strategy of praise. Let's all stand for prayer. From the lips of children and infants. From the lips of children and infants, God has ordained praise. God has established praise. Praise of God works wonders in our life. God is not a slot machine. God's not going to just put in the money and out comes all this all this good stuff. But as we, one day at a time, every day, have that strategy of praise, we will see fear pass away. We will see dread pass away, worry, anxiety pass away. And we'll be able to put our focus upon Christ who changes our life. Let's just close our eyes for prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have ordained praise. From the lips of children and infants. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us praise as a strategy, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that none of us are too proud to open up our mouths and start praising you, Lord God. When we start our day, Lord God, to start praising you, to see each day as a day that is a gift from you, Lord God, made by you, Lord God, given to us as a gift, Lord God, to make the most of, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you've given us the strategy of praise. We thank you that praise changes our perspective. We thank you that praise gets our eyes off ourselves and gets our eyes upon you, Lord God. Gets our eyes upon you, Lord God. This gentle and humble King. Yes, a conquering King. Yes, conquered everything that stands against us, Lord God. But it gets our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus, and helps us to overcome because you have won the victory, Lord. We thank you today. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.